Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's the Friday before the Super Bowl edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and yeah, I did work Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, you all know what that music means. Schomburg Stu is here. What's going on, Stu?
Yeah, I almost missed the call because I got a call from Joe Madden talking about his latest deal, and I almost forgot to call in to do the show, but I remembered at the last second, and I'm on.
All right. Well, we will definitely get to that deal here in a little bit, but if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Yeah, that's the perfect place to go. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So, you know, get ready for something popping up there. That should be sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any of the messages you have for you know, Stu along to him, and, you know, as long as they're clean and reasonable and not aren't too weird. So, but all right, and we will, don't fret, we will get the Stu Super Bowl picks and, you know, all the stuff he's going with there. But, Stu, we had a major free agent signing in baseball, and probably the top guy on everybody's list this offseason was Trevor Bauer. You know, a lot of rumors where he was going to go. You know, the Blue Jays were in on him for a while. The Mets were very heavily invested and actually made the first contract offer to him. The Mets gave him, I believe, to a mid – or was it a midnight deadline or was it a noon deadline to make a decision on their offer. And obviously he turned it down because Bauer is now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He gets 3 years and $102 million. He has an opt-out after the first 2 years of the deal. He'll get $40 million next year and $45 million in 2020. So don't expect him to opt out after year one because he's not going to walk away from $45 million. I would guess the opt-out will happen in year three when he's only due to make $17 million. You know, Stu, this now gives the Dodgers Clayton Kershaw, Cy Young Award winner, Trevor Bauer, who just won the Cy Young Award winner. David Price comes back, another Cy Young Award winner. Walker Buehler may be actually the best pitcher on the team. He hasn't won a Cy Young yet. And then it looks like Julio Urias or Dustin May will probably be the fifth. Oh, this is the best rotation in baseball?
You would think so. And are they actually going to have the playoffs in the National League and the World Series this year? Or are you just going to award it to the Dodgers right now and forget about everything?
Well, I think it's just they go right to the Dodgers versus the Padres, best of seven, and whoever wins goes to the World Series, right?
You would think that's the most likely scenario for sure. And I didn't know about that deal until you mentioned it to me. I was reading about some other major transactions in Los Angeles, but it wasn't with the Dodgers. And when did this take place officially? Just within the last couple of hours? I didn't see anything about it.
Yeah, it was officially reported, I believe. Well, the rumors came out this morning, but it was officially reported about 2 p.m. that he would sign with the Dodgers.
Yeah, my gut feeling was that he was going to sign with the Yankees, and I'm not even sure if they were in the mix, but that's what I had a feeling it was going to happen. But hey, if not the Yankees, then the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, and I really thought with the way the Mets were talking, I thought they were going to end up being the front runners here. And again, they had conversations and, all the stuff you need to have to get this kind of stuff done. And for whatever reason, it just didn't, it didn't go that way. You wonder if maybe they didn't like the opt-out, or when you start talking salary, while it does average to $34 million a year, obviously those first 2 years at 40 and 45 are big money.
Yeah. And if the Mets had pulled it off, I think they might have been installed as the favorite over the for Atlanta to win the division. Now it's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, I definitely think. And I do wonder, do you think with, all the moves San Diego made, they've acquired three really quality starting pitchers in Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and then Joe Musgrove. Do you think this kind of pushed the Dodgers a little harder to make this deal?
I think it had a factor, yeah. I definitely think that that was certainly a major factor in the Dodgers finally getting aboard on the move to get the Trevor Bauer. I think they may have looked at the San Diego and said they may be offering us a little more stiffer competition than we would like. Now I think they'll be a solid second place in the division.
So, yeah, because it's really, they're, unless they're going to make another big trade, and there's not, I don't think there's much they could do except maybe add a top outfielder. I don't know. I guess maybe they could find somebody who's willing to deal another starting pitcher. There may be another team out there. There have been reports that Kyle Hendricks is on the market, so maybe they could come back to Chicago and get him in a deal. But, yeah, it's just tough when you look at that Dodger team, and you're going, good Lord, how do you beat these guys now?
Yeah, and I thought baseball had at least some kind of checks and balances in place to prevent something like this from happening. But
well,
I guess
what they have is the luxury. They have the luxury tax, which the Dodgers gladly pay to win.
Yeah,
they have no problem whatsoever paying the luxury tax as long as they're winning.
Yeah, and so what kind of a deterrent is that if a team's willing to disregard the luxury tax penalty?
And oddly, most teams don't. Even the Yankees have been doing what they can to stay under it, which is part of the reason, they didn't bring back some of their free agent pitchers. But that's what, the Cubs have been doing and the Red Sox have been doing. They're breaking down all their big salaries because they don't want to pay that luxury tax. And unfortunately, as a fan, if you're a fan of the Red Sox or the Cubs or, possibly the Yankees, who are still a very good team, you're probably going to get a losing season out of both of those teams. Maybe they hang around 500, but in the Dodgers' case, they want to win world championships, and it's got to be great to be a Dodger fan because your team is going to go for it pretty much every year. Where, you being the longtime Cub fan have to be quite upset with the way this season is going to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And I'm wondering that the Dodgers are just such a clear favorite now to win it all. And are they still profitable? They must be if they can afford to pay the luxury tax.
Well, they are always, when fans are allowed in the building, they are always the leader in attendance. They're number one above and beyond everybody else for home attendance. I think normally they do over 4 million. So, if they start letting fans back in, this won't be a problem for the Dodgers at all.
And I'm sure they would make even more money, and it wouldn't bother them at all about the luxury tax if they can get the TV deal secured with certain areas of Los Angeles that they can't seem to do right now.
Yeah.
There would be more money for them. They can
for whatever reason, I think they were the second team behind the Yankees to have their own, you know, television network. And for whatever reason, their owner at the time was that goof Frank McCord, who ran into all kinds of trouble. He just botched the deal, or whoever he had negotiating with it botched the deal, because I believe it's less than like 50% of Los Angeles gets their games, right?
That's exactly right. And you would think that they would finally figure out a way to circumvent that so that all the fans in the Los Angeles area would be able to watch the ball games.
Well, you know, and oddly, that was almost the situation here last year in Chicago. Remember how long it took Marquee and Comcast to come to an agreement?
Yeah, it was a very last-minute deal.
So, you know, and I don't know how long that Dodger TV deal goes, so they may have to wait for it to expire before they can try to work something out with Comcast. You know, I don't know who they're signed with or how it worked out for them, but, you know, either way, I mean, they're, you know, a very profitable team. And, you know, now obviously if they were to sell, you know, if the owner decided to sell, he would probably get the second best price only behind the Yankees, who are always one of the top rated franchises in sports. You know, it's always Dallas Cowboys, New York Yankees right there at the top. But the Dodgers aren't far behind. And, you know, imagine if they put this together, you got Bauer for probably a guarantee for at least 2 years. They could win three in a row with this pitching staff.
Very easily. And, well, you always say that anything can happen in a short series, especially the first best of five series, as what happened, almost happened last year. But likely, logically thinking about it, I don't see it happening with that pitching staff.
You know, and if it did, I mean, it would just be a major upset. I mean, we would be talking about a guy like Clayton Kershaw or Trevor Bauer or Walker Buehler, that means two out of the three of them have to have a bad outing. And I don't know how often that's going to happen.
Yeah, the only thing that would stop them, and we don't want to see this happen to any team, even the Dodgers, would be injuries. If they stay healthy and injury-free, I can't see them.
That would be the biggest concern.
Yeah, well, look what happened to the Mets. Look what's happened to the Mets the last few years. An apparently solid team, especially in pitching, and the injuries have just curtailed them from getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, you do wonder now, you know, the only real question left for the Dodgers is third base. You know, Justin Turner is still a free agent, and there were a lot of talks that they had planned on, you know, bringing him back one way or the other. You do wonder now, adding another big money contract, if maybe they go a different route there. Do you think that's possible, or do you think Turner ends up back in a Dodger uniform?
My gut feeling is that he ends up back there, but if he doesn't, I have a feeling that a well-known player in the Chicago area might be playing third base for the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I buy that anymore with them being involved, because if they were to make that deal for Chris Bryant, they would probably want to keep him. And I just wonder if they would be willing to add, you know, one more major contract to, you know, the ones they're already looking at. You know, besides Bauer, don't forget David Price came along with a big money deal. He's still got 2 years left on his deal. You know, Clayton Kershaw is in the last year of his deal, so they're going to have to obviously pay him very well. Mookie Betts just signed in the off season. So, or last off season, I should say. So, you know, they're looking at five really big money contracts already, would they be willing to add a sixth? Because, any team now at this point, if you're going to trade for Chris Bryant, you're going to want to try to sign him. So I just don't know if they would make that move.
Well, knowing the Dodgers, they'd be the only team that I could think of besides the Yankees that would actually consider making that kind of a move. And regarding pitching, by the way, the one Achilles heel that comes to mind is David Price. Is he healthy?
Yeah.
Is he going to be
healthy? Well, remember, he took all last year off. You know, he was one of the players that opted out. So he's had plenty of time now to recover. And, you know, and I mean, he probably won't ever be back to the form where he was the Cy Young Award winner, just because of the injuries and the other issues that wear on your body as time goes along. But you've got to think he's coming into spring training 100% healthy.
Yeah, you'd hope so. You want to see the guy pitch injury free, but there's always that issue in my mind that suspects that is he going to be healthy the entire season.
Yeah, well, you know, and the sad part about that is you can almost ask that about anybody, you know, because just about every player has an injury somewhere down the line. So, you know, you've got to just kind of wonder, you know, well, is this the year they're going to, you know, it's going to happen again, or, you know, what's going to go here or there. So it's definitely tough to, you know, make a judgment that way just because of it, the way things kind of, you know, roll out.
And you pointed out he's never going to be the same as he was before, but let's say he's healthy and he pitches okay in spring training. Is he in baseball shape? Will that be enough to get him in baseball shape after being out for so long?
Yeah, you would think so, and especially with the way the pitchers are handled now. You know, I mean, even if he goes out in his first five outings and only gives them five innings, that's fine according to today's standards. You know, I mean, it's not like they're going to ask him to go out there and pitch seven, eight, nine innings. So it's, you know, it's a much, not so much easier, but better setup for these starting pitchers than what it used to be.
Yeah, I don't see him pitching more than six innings at the most.
You know, and I mean, that's just the way the game is set up now. You know, that's what they do. You know, the guy goes out and he can go out and be like, hey, all right, here we go. I've got, I've got whatever going on. You know, this is that and blah, 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 and here we go, and I am all set. So.
And what does the average baseball fan, you think, other than the fans in the Los Angeles area, think about this deal?
I'm under the impression they're probably thinking the exact same thing you and I are thinking. You know, that the Dodgers just pretty much more or less clinch their World Series spot.
Yeah, and it doesn't make the other baseball fans any happier at all when this happens. It just doesn't seem fair, but that's the way free agency works, and the Dodgers don't seem to care about the luxury tax, and so they're going to keep winning year after year after year.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, then, you know, you top it off with the fact that not only do they have money and are willing to spend it, but they also have a top-notch farm system where they can just continually pull guys out of as needed. Even without the Bauer signing, you know, it looks like it's finally Julio Urias' time to become a full-time starter. You know, without Bauer, it would have been, you know, Dustin May or Tony Gonsolin, or Caleb Ferguson if he was healthy. There just seems to be for however they do it, and I don't know why more teams don't follow this route, almost a never-ending supply of prospects that just keep coming out of their system and that do well.
If the Dodgers were to acquire a big-name third baseman, would they be willing to part with any of these pitchers in return?
You know, obviously, depending on who the third baseman is, you know, I'm sure they would. I doubt it would be like their number. Oddly enough, their number one prospect is a pitching prospect who's, if he was on any other team, would be in the starting rotation this year. So, except he's with the Dodgers, so he'll probably pitch in AAA. you know, just bad luck
yeah.
for the kid. But, yeah, you know, you've got to think, because, you know, looking at their lineup now, it's projected that Edwin Rios would be their starter at third base. I kind of lean more to the fact that they're going to want to get Gavin Lux in and get him more at bats. Because just a few years ago, he was their top prospect, and it looked like he was going to be their everyday second baseman. But they've kind of split time with him between, you know, Chris Taylor and Kiki Hernandez, and, you know, Max Muncy has taken some time there. But, you know, Hernandez signed elsewhere. They did bring Taylor, and Muncy are still here. But I kind of think they've got to, you know, and he's only 23, so there still is time for Lux. But you've got to think that it's time to get him in and get him his at-bats. So I'll be interested to see if maybe if Turner doesn't come back, if he gets a lot of time at third base.
Yeah, would you be surprised if Turner doesn't come back?
You know, not so much now, because I'm wondering if he would, you know, you would think he probably would, but will he come back for what's probably going to be a below average contract now? You know, but I would think he would take it just because he would want to win another, you know, have a great chance
yeah.
to win another World Series.
Sure.
But again, you know, you never know how these guys are. There are plenty of guys who could probably fill that role for them. You know, if they wanted to go another way, I don't know how many of them would really be, you know, on their radar. You know, I know like Todd Frazier is out there. They could probably get him cheaply. You know, Jed Jorko is out there. I believe he was a Padre at one point. Maybe he was a Dodger. I am a little surprised that Jake Lamb is still hanging around out there. I know he struggled with Toronto, but he played really well for Oakland. You know, and then Mikel Franco is just 28. He's hanging around out there. So there are a couple guys that they could probably get, you know, low money, you know, and especially to go to the Dodgers now, you know, everybody wants to win.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they finally wind up doing at third base.
You know, and we'll have to see how it rolls out. But you did mention another deal that happened in Los Angeles, but this one involved the Angels, and it was former Cub great Dexter Fowler. Now he's going to be heading to the West Coast now to join Mike Trout and the Angels. The Angels will also get $12.75 million. And oddly enough, all the Cardinals are getting back in return is cash consideration or a player to be named later. So, you know, I'm looking at this more of a salary dump for St. Louis than anything else, because, you know, they just did obviously add the gigantic Nolan Arenado contract. And I think Fowler has two more years on his contract. I think he's got this year and next year, because he got a 5-year deal. back in 2017. But,
well,
truth be told,
that deal did not turn out very well in St. Louis's favor because Fowler has been a major disappointment for them.
Yeah, you know, I think he had quite a few injury issues. I know last year he missed almost half the season with an injury. You know, he only played in 31 games, and I'm not sure if it was 2019 or 2018. I want to double check here. Yeah, it was 2018. He only played in 90 games because he was injured. You know, like his first year there, he was very good for them. But, you know, the injury, you know, you got to wonder if it affected him because he's really struggled there ever since.
He has, and I'm wondering if he's injury-free, switching leagues, will that help him?
You know, they say it does, you know, because they don't have the book on you, quote unquote. But I guess we'll see. And I mean, you got to remember, we're talking about a guy that even when he is healthy, he's only a career 259 hitter. So, you know, we're not talking about a guy who's going to go out and hit 310 or 320. You know, basically what the Angels are getting is a plus defender, but not a great offensive player, and he's not even really a stolen base threat anymore. He hasn't had double digits since 2016, but you jokingly at the start mentioned Joe Madden, and Joe Madden is familiar with Dexter Fowler, and, you know, he was – very, you know, essential in the Cubs winning that World Series. And let's face it, he was the last true leadoff hitter the Cubs had. So we'll see if he takes over that role for Madden again or how they work things out with him. But maybe Madden hopes he can regain some of that, you know, the promise he had when they were together.
Well, you remember the catchphrase that he came up with for Fowler, you go, we go. And maybe he's hoping to rekindle that. And maybe he's familiar enough with Fowler to do something and maybe get his confidence back. And if he's healthy, maybe he can surprise a lot of people in the American League.
You know, what I am really surprised with is, you know, the Angels have – the best outfield prospect in baseball, a guy by the name of Joe Adell, and he played a little bit last year. But, you know, acquiring Fowler really ties up their outfield because obviously Mike Trout is going to play. You've got Justin Upton, and then now you've got Fowler. So I don't know how Joe Adell fits into these plans, and immediately I started to wonder – if maybe they were going to try to move him for a big-time pitcher, you know, because that's always been the Angels' need. You know, I know they added Jose Quintana and Alex Cobb this offseason, but we're not talking about lights-out starters there, and God only knows what Otani's going to give you. So I that was the first thing that popped into my head, but otherwise, I don't know the reasoning behind this deal because I don't know how much Fowler helps you out.
It'll be interesting, and I wonder if Madden had a say in the acquisition.
Yeah, you know, that is an interesting question. You know, and I do notice that, you know, and obviously, like I mentioned, they signed Quintana, and, you know, they were – really, it looked like they were going to be big-time players for Wilson Contreras, the Angels, I mean. You know, but they ended up – they couldn't get anything done, and they ended up signing Kurt Suzuki. So, and again, maybe they'll still get something done. You never know. But, yeah, anytime, you know, a current Cub or ex-Cub name comes up, it seems the Angels are in play, so you do wonder if maybe Madden does have a little bit of input on who comes in.
I suspect that he does. I suspect that he does, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how both Quintana and Fowler play for the Angels this upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, it will be, and even Alex Cobb, who, you know, really was just bad in Baltimore. You know, obviously the bad team didn't help him, but he didn't pitch very well there either. So, the Angels could be an interesting team. Again, obviously their pitching is going to have to hold up, so we'll see how that works out. But it looks like they finally got a closer. They acquired Raisel Iglesias really early in the offseason from the Reds. But they decided to let Anderton Simmons go, and the replacement is short as Jose Iglesias, who is a great fielder and I know has hit better as of late, but I don't know how that works. And then their catching duo is Max Stassi and Kurt Suzuki. Neither guy is going to blow anybody away offensively.
I'm not sure if they can compete on equal terms with Houston or Texas or Oakland.
So, yeah, and the key will be how they pitch, you know, because obviously, you know, Dylan Bundy was very good for them last year. I know the ERA ballooned towards the end, and everybody's been waiting for Andrew Heaney to kind of establish himself as a top-of-the-rotation guy. We've seen Quintana pitch well. It's just Willie, and you know Alex Cobb was in the same boat in Tampa Bay. Griffin Canning is another one of their young guys who looks like he'll get a chance, and then you'll have Ohtani pitching apparently once a week. You know, whatever day they decide he's going to pitch. So it's not a terrible rotation. I mean, to be honest, it's going to be a lot better than what the Cubs are going to run out there. But it's just been such a negative for them for so long that until they can prove themselves, you're just going to continue to ask questions.
Yeah, Quintana will be a big key because he can look great on one occasion and then fall on his face the next time out. So I don't question his skills. I question his consistency as a starting pitcher. He'll eat up a lot of innings for you, though, that's for sure.
So, yeah, and, you know, that'll help because if Alex Cobb is healthy, he'll do the same thing. So, you know, those will be, you know, big helps there. It just depends on, health plays a big role, like, you know, we always say, and, you know, we'll see in the end how it works out, but, you know, it's always a shame when, you know, you have Mike Trout and you just can't do anything with it.
Yeah, that is a shame. The best player in baseball and can't get into the playoffs, and it won't be an easy feat for them. I'd be kind of shocked if they made it into the playoffs this in 2021, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they're improved at least, you got to remember, you know, the A's have let a lot of their guys go. So there's a lot of question marks there. You just wonder, you know, how the Astros will do. But remember, we're talking about a team that's going to go, you know, without Justin Verlander for probably the entire season. And their starting pitching isn't going to look the same. I mean, they'll have Zach Greinke, but then, you know, we're talking about guys like, you know, Framber Valdez. Lance McCullers Jr. will be back, but you wonder for how long with his injury history. Jose Urquhart is going to get a rotation spot, and it looks like Christian Javier will be the other guy. So they're not going to blow anybody away. And then they decided not to bring back their closer, so Ryan Pressly takes over there. This will be the first time he's ever been a full-time closer. And, you know, we know that doesn't always work out for the best through history.
No,
so
that's
there's,
for sure.
There's a lot of
questions there.
You know,
they could be had, and I'm wondering if Texas might have a shot at coming in and being a surprise winner in that division.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the Astros' everyday lineup is going to be good and help them compete, you know, in every way. You know, that won't be a problem. But, you know, in Texas, I can tell you the problem right here. Here's their projected starting rotation. Kyle Gibson, Jordan Lyles, Kohei Anahar, Dane Dunning, and Mike Fultonewicz. How's that blow you over for a five-man rotation?
Not all that impressive, is it?
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, they're also, you know, they're you know, bringing in some guys that other teams kind of cast off. You know, they're David Dahl's coming in from the Rockies. You know, he's been a little injury prone the past couple years. It looks like they're finally going to let their top prospect Tavares take over in center field. You know, but they brought in Nate Lowell from Tampa. He had success in Tampa, but everybody seems to have success at Tampa, but only as a part-time player. So, you know, you wonder in a full-time role, does it expand or did Tampa Bay just know how to use them? So yeah, Texas may have more questions than the Angels.
Yeah,
so,
I suppose that Houston will be the favorite to win it again in that division.
Yeah.
But it won't be a blowout.
It won't
be a 20-game win by the division. It'll be close.
Yeah. You know, it should be. And, it, you know, I mean, and it wouldn't probably take much for the A's to get themselves back in it. You know, they have a very young starting rotation, but it's always produced for them. You know, it's just the point that, you know, right now you look at their everyday lineup and, you know, they'll get a healthy Matt Chapman back, so that's obviously a huge help. But their middle infield right now is Tony Kemp at second and Chad Pinder at short. That doesn't scream winner to me.
The thing with Oakland is they're like Tampa. On paper, they don't look all that good, but they win.
Yeah.
But we'll see if that happens this season.
You know, but genuinely, they win with guys that we don't know.
Right.
You know, that we haven't heard of or anything like that. You know, we've seen Tony Kemp right here in Chicago. You know, and Pinder has been a journeyman major leaguer for a few years now. So they're not really, you know, it's not a prospect. It's not a guy in a deal or an under-the-radar free agent. So that's a little different for Oakland this year.
Yeah, and they seem to overcome these things, but so it'll be interesting to see what happens when the season starts.
So, yeah, and, you know, again, they could easily do that if this young starting rotation can put it together. You know, like, you know, Chris Bassett will be the veteran at the top. Jesus Luzardo was really good last year. So was Frankie Montas. You know, and they're both very young. Sean Manna is healthy, so he'll be back. You know, that fifth spot is in a little bit of a flex, so it may go to Dalton Jeffries, who is one of their prospects, but they also have A.J. Puck, who everybody's been waiting on, you know, but they don't know if he's going to be ready to start the season. So when he comes back, he'll probably end up in the bullpen so they can manage him. Or they may send him to AAA just to keep his innings limited. So there's some fluctuation there on what they're going to do with that rotation spot. I don't think they have any, like, non-roster invitees. Yeah, they don't have any non-roster invitees that may step up and grab the role. They did bring in Cole Irving from Philadelphia, So it's possible he's had some starting experience. Maybe he'll take it. But that, you know, obviously that's going to be the big question mark in the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll be quite interesting. And once again, that's a tough division. And I guess the Chicago team should be thankful they're in the Central in both the National and American League.
Well, you know, except the Twins are, you know, the Twins are starting to look pretty good. You know, they brought Nelson Cruz back.
I think I was going to say the White Sox were going to win that division, but I may be shifting back to the Twins now as being the favorites.
Yeah. You know, and then I know another, you know, minor free agent signing. The Tigers did bring back Jonathan Scope. I want to double check here. I think it was just a one-year deal. Do they have it? Yeah, 1 year at $4.5 million. And then the Rangers, like we mentioned, they just signed Mike Foltynewicz. He'll get two – what has he got? He's got a – looks like he's got – they don't really give details on the contract except that it's got a $2 million incentive clause. You know, Foltynewicz, of course, was a breakout guy with the Braves and then just ended up melting down. I think it was 2019 or 20, and then last year. So they let him go. So the Rangers are going to see if they can get him back. Of course, the big signing, I know you were just all over and interested in. The Cubs have picked up Sergei Alcantara, the middle infielder who hit .143 for the Tigers last year in 10 games. So I know you're excited for that signing.
I am. Well, anytime a guy can go up, bat seven times and get one hit, well, he's my kind of man.
So, yeah, just another, you know, and the press release I saw said the Cubs added depth. So I don't know what that means, but that's what they added.
So. Well, the Cubs should be very happy that there's no convention this year. Let me put it that way.
Definitely. So just a big thing. But, yeah, you know, I know we ate up quite a bit of time there, but obviously it's that was some big stuff. And not that the Super Bowl's not a big deal, but, you know, I think we're more baseball guys than football guys. But let's get into it now, and we will roll out. First of all, you were doing really good with your football picks, but man, the Chicago teams let you down last week. We'll jump into football and see how you do here. So right off the bat, who wins and what's the final score?
That's a tough question, and it's very, very difficult for a team to win Super Bowls back-to-back. It hasn't happened very often. However, I'm going to have to go along with Kansas City to win this one.
All right, and your the score?
Well, I'm going to go I'll go 28-17 for Kansas City.
All right. So not only are you picking Kansas City, you're also picking them to cover because the line has been going between 3 and 3.5.
Right,
so
that's right.
I think they have a very talented team.
They have a very talented team. They got a great quarterback. And although Tom Brady did get the win last week, he did throw three picks, remember.
So, yeah, and then, you know, of course, your final prediction, your Super Bowl MVP is?
I'll go for the man with Kansas City. Like anybody else, I'll go with the QB, Mahomes.
That's pretty much the best choice anytime you go that route. Now, Dan also did go with Kansas City yesterday, so... you guys are in agreement, and now I did not make any picks through the playoffs, but since we do this every year, I will make the Super Bowl pick as well. I have Kansas City winning 34-27, so we all have Kansas City covering, and as much as I would like to go another way and and give you a Tyreek Hill or a Travis Kelce MVP pick. It's just so hard not to take the quarterback of the winning team anymore because that's always who they pick. So I'm just joining in, and we're all going with Patrick Mahomes as the MVP. So now that we've all agreed on who's going to win the Super Bowl, I would like to congratulate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their victory on Sunday. So,
yeah, well, based upon my predictions last week, I think that would be a foregone conclusion.
Well, you know, anytime we agree on something, and this has been notorious since we started getting football games weekly, if we agree, that team loses. So,
Well,
you know,
correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Tampa lose to the Bears?
Yes, they did, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So,
how could you possibly predict a team to win the Super Bowl if the Bears have beaten them during the course of the season?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe the Bears would have beat the Chiefs if they would have played. So.
Yeah, that's drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm afraid.
Unlikely, but, you know, it was unlikely that they would beat Tampa Bay, and they managed to. So.
Yeah, it was kind of a shocker that Tampa was able to beat Green Bay, and I did not expect that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were surprised that ended up being the outcome. But, you know, Tampa Bay's defense played pretty well, and that may be the one thing they have going tomorrow. You know, remember, the Chiefs are going to be without a couple of linemen, you know, especially their left tackle. So maybe I don't think it'll have that much of an effect. I think Andy Reid is smart enough to game plan correctly. But, you know, that's the one thing, while I think Kansas City has the better offense, I definitely think the Chiefs have the better defense. So, Tampa Bay has the better defense.
Right, right. When was the last time a team won back-to-back Super Bowls? It's been, several years now.
Yeah, you know, we just did this yesterday, and I've already forgotten. I want to say it was New England in 04 and 05, but let me double check here while we're on it. But yeah, it has been a while since we've had it. All right, where are we? All right, come on. Oh, maybe I was right, and I did remember more than that. So, yeah, it was New England.
Engine?
New England in 04 and 05 went back-to-back.
No, it's been a long time, though, 15 years or so. Then there's been a repeat winner.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, New England has been close a couple times. You know, they went 3 years in a row, they beat Atlanta, then they lost to Philadelphia, and then they beat the Rams. So they did get two out of three until Kansas City won last year. But, yeah, just not back-to-back.
Right, exactly right.
So,
I always bring out Tom Brady. The guy is a winner. He's a winner. He's in his 40s, and he's a winner. So, is it within the realm of possibility that he could bring the Tampa Bay to a Super Bowl victory, an upset?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's no reason he can't, right? I mean, we're talking about the guy who is definitely, well, as of right now, I should say, because we never know what'll come along in history. He's definitely the greatest quarterback of all time. You know what? He's got six Super Bowl wins, so that puts him out in front of everybody. It's possible. I mean, he's smart enough to know, you know, what's working and what's not working. So if he has to, he can get them out of certain plays. So, you know, yeah, it's definitely a possibility that they could win. You know, and I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
And I think they're going to get a huge rating for this game. Well, they always do, but I think it's even more so than that for this one. You got the young great quarterback against the greatest quarterback ever going in the Super Bowl. What could be better than that?
Yeah, it definitely looks like a ratings winner. You know, like you said, I mean, obviously they always do a fantastic rating for the Super Bowl, but yeah, this may be one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, and my wife and my sister will also be watching the Super Bowl for the halftime show.
So, well, do they know who the halftime show is? Do they know the guy?
I don't know, but it's they have to watch the halftime show, and I thought I read who the guy is, and I had never heard of him. But as you know, I'm not much on top of the current music scene.
Yes, it is the guy's name. He goes by The Weeknd. So,
oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so he will be the main performer. I'm sure there will be other, you know, other guests coming through as the, you know, it goes on there. So,
well, should I come up with one of my sick jokes? I probably shouldn't do this, but remember, guys, it's all in fun. But they were going to have Tony Bennett do the show, but he forgot where to go. Oh, rim shot there.
Yeah, we have one. I just got to find it. There we go.
Uh-oh, there it is. Well, I hope people forgive me for that, but I've always been a Tony Bennett fan, by the way. He's one of the great singers, and he's had a great, great career. And it's always sad to see these things happen, but you have to remember the guy's in his mid-90s. So Father Time marches on, as we always say.
So yeah, you know, it's always, you know, it's tough when that happens, but yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, unfortunately that's just the way it goes. You know, nobody's found out a way to stop it yet, and I doubt they ever will.
But, hey, 10 or 15 years down the road, when I start to forget what we're talking about on the podcast, you're going to have to replace me with a suitable substitute.
I just figured I could get Linda to take over, so.
Well, she's not much of a sports fan. You'll have to think of some other categories to discuss.
Well, you know, I don't know if we could find a suitable replacement. You know, I don't really have any other friends. There's you and Dan and Mr. Fantasy, and Mr. Fantasy isn't interested in doing it anymore. So I'm kind of at my end of the rope there.
We want the show to go on for many more years.
I might have to turn it into like Wrestle Talk Friday or something if something happens to you.
Yeah,
I might be
right.
Able to find people that with me. So,
Rich sent me something today, an email about some WWE wrestler that is no longer with the company. I think he was left in 2014. That is transferred to. He's now a transgender.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
Yes, Tyler Rex is the wrestler you're speaking of.
And I don't remember him. I guess there aren't any more jobbers. Was he just a mid-card guy, a lower mid-card guy?
Yeah, he was mid-card, lower mid-card. You know, he would win the matches on, like, Main Event and, you know, the other lower-tier shows, but he never would beat, you know, anybody who was being pushed.
Yeah, as we pointed out, I don't know as much about the current talent in the wrestling game as I did when I watched it pretty seriously in the 50s. Of course, it's a different ball game now.
And you know, and I do wonder if I guess technically it's she now will try to come back and wrestle, you know, a la Nyla Rose, who's currently in AEW, is transgender.
That would be interesting if that happens, and I wonder what kind of a boost that would do to the ratings? Would there be some people tuning in just to see that?
Yeah, actually, unfortunately, it goes more the other way. You know, people aren't really accepting about that. So, yeah, it normally ends up being kind of a negative.
Yeah, things have improved along those lines, but there's still a stigma attached to it. But I'm wondering, I'm still waiting to see if ex-President Trump will come on and do another angle with VKM.
So yeah, well, hey, now would be the time to bring him back, right? That would be
perfect
exactly transition. So you know,
that would be
we'll have to.
If that happened, you know the ratings would be off the charts.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, I'm sure there'd be plenty of people who'd want to tune in and see it. I don't know how the rest of the show would do, but, you know, his segment would probably do really well.
Yeah, right. And they could do another hair versus hair match when they manage their respective opponents.
So, yeah, if they can, I don't know, would either of their hair grow back at this point?
Yeah, so. You wonder about that. You do wonder about that. But, they need a rating boost anyway, right? So things have not gone well in recent months. So they need a jump start on the ratings. Because I don't think...
As of now, I think the only WWE program the networks are happy with is tonight's SmackDown.
Right.
Has always the win. It wins the night, and that's what the network wants. I know the ratings aren't great for it, but again, it wins the night, so they're getting the most eyeballs on that. But I do wonder, and this kind of, I'm curious here. I don't know when WWE's contract expires with USA, but now that, they've signed with NBC and Peacock and the streaming, do you see them possibly moving Raw over to the stream to try to get people to buy that?
That's an interesting possibility, but I'm wondering if there is enough interest for people to do that.
Because I don't know how the network subscription was affected by the move to Peacock. So I don't know, if they're missing network content or what they're doing there. But, yeah, I was kind of wondering, even if that doesn't move, do you think with the ratings being in the tank for Raw like they were, that the next contract offer for that would be much lower? Or do you possibly think they would ask him to cut it to 2 hours?
I think both of those things are likely. I think they would maybe cut down the content and maybe have a better show. And I don't think they would get paid as much as they are getting paid now. And they need something.
Yeah,
they need some kind of a ratings boost, and I'm not sure how they go about doing it.
The problem is they're stuck in a rut now. I mean, the shows now, I read the recaps, and it seems like guys wrestle multiple times when they have a gigantic roster, and that makes no sense.
No, they have diluted the product, that's for sure. I had to say one thing, and I don't watch it that often, but it seems like the NXT product on Wednesday night is more wrestling-based than either SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah, and that's kind of odd, but that's a good way to end the podcast today, so let's do that. We're back on Monday morning, so we're talking about who won the Super Bowl and who won the Have a good weekend.